If you'll open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and he's going to read verses 1 through 9 for us. And so I want to encourage you, and again, thank you all for being here today. We're going to look into the Word of God. All right, Brother Cleo.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
I worked this week, as I told the class this morning, preparing messages. And this morning, as I was upstairs praying in my office and reading, the Lord switched Sunday school lesson. So what you're going to get this morning at the 11 o'clock hour was what I was going to teach at the 10 o'clock hour. And then what we had at the 10 o'clock hour was what God gave me this morning that was different than what I was going to do at the 11 o'clock hour. So now, the preacher isn't confused, just so you all know and understand that. I earnestly pray that God will give me what he wants us to hear, and also giving God the liberty to change things as he sees fit to change them. And because, you know, again, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we've used this illustration before. You know, we're in a battle, and we're in a spiritual battle. And I'm one of the soldiers, just like you're one of the soldiers. God knows what's going to go on. God knows where we are. God knows each and every heart. God knows who's going to be where. And it's just amazing that when God puts things together. And so I'm not confused. And if you say, well, you know, preacher, that's really strange. I can show you my notes. I've got this one, what I'm preaching this at the 11 o'clock hour. I've got written on here Sunday school, adults. In today's date. And then what I didn't preach, what I'm not going to preach now, it's coming. I've got here Sunday and the a.m. service at 11 o'clock. And then, of course, as I showed you all this morning, my chicken scratch on the back. And but just I just wanted to, you know, again, be open with you and transparent with you you know, just sharing with you how God works, you know, because you kind of wonder, you know, how does a preacher come up with what he preaches? And I'll be honest with you, sometimes if I'm not walking with the Lord as I should, and I'm not prayed up and read up like I should, it comes hard. it comes hard. And of course, I am definitely not above of delivering a flop. And what's a flop? Well, a message that God didn't want taught. But the good thing is whenever we open up the Word of God, and we look into the Word of God, whether it's a flop or not, the Word of God is true, it's strong, it's powerful, and no matter how bad the message is, if we look for something, we can get something. But I want to share some things with you, We're going to go ahead and open up in prayer, and then I've got, we're going to look at verse number 10, and then I'm going to share some things with you, we'll probably go over a few Sunday mornings, and so for those of you who are in the area, of course, you all from Pennsylvania, if you want to come back each week to get the rest of it, hey, that'd be fine, but let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer, and Lord, I love your people. Lord, I thank you that you have called me and brought me here to Faith Independent Baptist Church in Hebron, Kentucky. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to feed the flock. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to lead them. And Father, to share with them what you have laid upon my heart and share with them the direction that you would have us to go. Now, Father, I pray that, again, that you would be with each need that is represented here. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that if there be anybody among us, again, that's not saved, Lord, I pray that today would be the day they'd get saved. Lord, I pray today would be the day they would call upon you and seek you, and Lord, that they could have eternal life. And Father, I pray that you would be with each and every person here and the needs that they have. And Father, I pray that the guidance that people have come and are looking for and searching for today, Father, I pray that you would just show them what it is you would have them to do. And Father, I pray that they would be obedient to it. And Lord, we'll love and thank you for all that you're doing. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, as we look, I want to look at verse number 10. And as Brother Cleo read verses number 1 through 9, verse number 10 starts out by saying, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly jointed together in the same mind and in the same judgment." You know, as I look at that verse and the instruction that the Apostle Paul was giving here to the church of Corinth, and as I got to thinking about what God would have for us, in verse number 10 here, he's pleading and begging with the church of Corinth that they by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we've talked about this before, the names that Paul is using here. Lord is Master. Jesus is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that represents his walk here on the earth, and understanding everything that we go through, and feeling our infirmities and being touched by our infirmities. And then it goes on to say Christ, which talks about his ministry that he came here on the earth to do, and that is to die for the sins of the world so that we all may have eternal life. And so Paul is very clear. Paul is very open here. He says, and then he goes on to say that ye, speaking to the church of Corinth, all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly jointed together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know what Paul was calling for the church of Corinth to do? To be together in unity. To not be operating solely, but to join together in unity in ministry in everything that they do, and that is so very, very important, folks, that we as a church join together in unity and togetherness in one prayer, and that there be no division among us. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be times of squabbling. All siblings squabble. That doesn't mean that there's going to not be times where we have difference opinions, because if I ask, it doesn't matter what subject is, and started asking everybody what they thought, we all have, now some of our thoughts would be the same, but others, you know, would be different, and we'd all have difference opinions and thoughts. But, you know, what we need to do is the Bible says here, no division among you. And what we need to do is the Bible says, be perfectly joined together in the same mind. How do we get in the same mind? Well, from the same book. Amen. From the same Spirit, from the same God, from following the direction of what the Word of God says. And I remember as a little boy growing up, our pastor one time introduced us to what is called the church covenant. And I remember he gave each family a plaque that had the church covenant written on it. You know, as a little boy, I didn't really understand much about that. I didn't really see a whole lot of that. But you know, what I realized in life, it's what kept our church together. The unity, the commitment. Everyone giving as much as they could. And what it did is it caused our church to grow. It caused our church to go further than it had ever gone before. And again, I know I've shared this with you before, but I remember as a 10-year-old boy when our pastor got up and he said, God's led me to preserve the Word of God. And he said, we're going to print the Word of God here. And in his message, he made the statement, even if we have to write it out by hand. God took a small group of people and gave us a monumental task. One that at the time we didn't realize how far it would go, how far it would stretch, and what God would do with it. We didn't understand how we were going to pay for it. We didn't understand how it was going to work. There were so many things that we didn't know. But one thing we did know is God had given direction. And as a 10-year-old boy, I watched my pastor and a godly man by the name of Sam Cottle working on a multi-lift 1250 press. Now, I know probably you all don't know what that is, or maybe some of you all do. But that's just a kind of a little, it would fit right here in front. Just a little tiny press. And they were determined to print the Bible from that press. Well, that press was never designed to do that. And they fought with it, called the manufacturer and said, hey, wait a minute, you know, the machine won't do this and the machine won't do that. And the manufacturer time and time again said, it's not designed to do that. And finally sent them a letter and said, it's impossible for that machine to do that. Well, I have one of those impossible New Testaments up in my office that was printed from that machine. You know why the impossible became possible? Because there were some men of God who were just stubborn enough and trusted God enough to do whatever it took, to think it, to make makeshift parts and do whatever it did to make that machine do what it does. And to the glory of God, the Bible that I preached from this morning was printed at First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio. The John of Romans that we distributed last summer, and even the John of Romans that you all have distributed from doing the fair here, came from First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio. The Word of God is printed in 47 different languages. It goes completely around the world. Millions of Word of God already this year have been printed, shipped, and sent. hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousand dollars have been spent. Where did it come from? Well, First Baptist Church didn't have it and still don't have it. But God blessed. People gave. They, as a church, it stepped out on faith and God did great things. And folks, again, First Baptist Church is a larger church. They're probably running about 600-700 now. And actually, that's smaller than what it used to be. And how can a group that small get so much accomplished? God. God and God's people. There's churches all around America that send in funds and help support the ministry. And praise the Lord, I'm going to take the young people over, and we're going to go over to the print shop and we're going to look. Because they now have two huge presses to print the Word of God. And folks, I'm talking presses that won't fit in this auditorium. One press won't fit in this auditorium. And they have two of them. Paid for. Because when God said do it, they did it. And the church body got together and did it. But as I was saying, I remember as a little boy the church covenant being presented to me and talked about. And I was just a little guy in church. Didn't think about it much. But what it encouraged us and what the church covenant is commitment. You know the biggest thing that is lacking across churches across America today is commitment. You know why so many marriages and Christian homes are failing and have failed? Lack of commitment. You know, in many of our homes, in homes today, people live together under the same roof, but are not committed to each other. And I'm talking about people that have followed the Lord or have actually gotten married and have a marriage license. And they live together, mom, dad, and a parcel of kids. But everybody's going different directions. Everybody has their own thing, and nobody comes together, and no one is committing to one another. You see, they're living in a house, and we call it a family. But it's the furthest thing from a family. Because nobody's committed to anybody. Right. And folks, I'm not talking about lost homes. I'm talking about Christian homes. And there's some things that we need to go back to, and there's some things that we need to do. You know, the Bible talks a lot about not removing the ancient landmarks, and I believe that's one of them we ought not remove. But I want to talk to you this morning about the church family. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to talk to you about the church family and the church covenant. It's an ancient landmark that we ought not remove. And what happens is years go by, and we don't talk about things, and we don't look at things, and we forget. And life and its cares, you know, we start going all kinds of different directions, we're a family within a family, and our families, our kids grow up and they go this way and they go that way, and that also happens in a church ministry. And some of it's good for children to grow up and to branch out on their own and follow the Lord's leadership and where they need to be. But as far as our little church here, Faith Independent Baptist Church, we need to stay committed. We need to have a covenant. What we need to do is we need, and that word covenant, that means to make an agreement. We need to make an agreement that we'll stick together as God leads. Now, I'm not talking about building a huge church. Actually, what I'd like to see happen one day, when we're running about 150 people and we can't breathe anymore, what I'd like to do is take a group of you and a young man that we have trained and taught, and go to the other side of town and start a church. Amen. And then when we grow back up again, do it over again. And when we grow back up again, do it over again. You say, no, we keep doing that, well, we won't have nothing. No, you run out when you quit using. God quits giving when you stop using what you got.
Amen. Amen.
God quits leading when you stop using what you have. But I want to talk to us about a church covenant. And I'm going to read to you the first paragraph of the church covenant. And this is the first requirement that there needs to be in a church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we do now, in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most joyfully enter into covenant with one another as the one body in Christ. Amen. Church members are to be saved. And that is the most important church covenant. The Bible tells us to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, again, that doesn't mean we don't want unbelievers here. You know, obviously, our goal is to reach unbelievers. But what we need to do is we need to make a covenant with one another as one body in Christ. What does that mean? One another. You know, what we got to do is we got to look at each other and we got to agree. And what we got to agree on is in one body in Christ. And that's who we are. One body. We're not here for each and every one of us to do our own thing. What we're here for is we're here together to unite in the purpose of proclaiming the Word of God. And I don't want to get ahead because I've read the whole church covenant and everything, and in my mind I keep wanting to jump ahead here, but let's go back to church members are to be saved people. The first line of that covenant says, having been led by the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 18, it says, for through Him we both, having access by one Spirit unto the Father. So being led through the Spirit. You know who leads us to God? When a person gets saved, you know who leads them? The Holy Spirit, God. The Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit leads a person. When you're witnessing to someone, when you're talking to someone and sharing the gospel with them, you know what the Holy Spirit's doing? The Holy Spirit is confirming in their heart that what you're saying is the truth. The Holy Spirit is urging them to listen. The Holy Spirit is urging them to follow. Now, they may not, or they may. The choice is up to them. But again, the Holy Spirit's there doing His work. John chapter 6 and verse number 44 says, no man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him. You know, I've had the privilege, as you all know, to travel around the world. And in each and every person that is ever born, there's a drawing by God to Himself. You say, well, does that mean we don't need to go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ? No, because you see, the devil presents himself as an angel of light, and I have never been anywhere in any village in the remotest part of anywhere where they've not had some kind of God that they worship. You see, it's within them. There really is no true atheist. Now, there's a lot of people that run around saying they're atheists, and they don't believe in God, but they believe themselves to be God. They believe themselves to be the ruler of their own universe. Yeah, right. I bet they say that to their boss when they report into work. But anyway, John chapter 6 and verse number 23 says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profiting nothing the words that I speak unto you. They are spirit and they are life." So who quickens us? The Spirit. And then it says, the second part, the second phrase in that, that what we're going to deal with this morning, it says, having received Christ as our Savior. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 12, John chapter 1 and verse number 12 says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." If you're going to get saved, it's going to be through the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. It won't be through being a member of a church. It won't be through your good works. And praise God, it won't be through your good looks either.
Amen.
Salvation is only through. And it says, "But as many as received him." When we open up our hearts and when we receive him, the Bible says, "To them gave he power to become the sons of God." You know where the power to be saved comes from? Comes from God. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be done without him. It says, "To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The Bible says there's no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know, you would be surprised how many people try salvation other ways. But don't work. There's only one way. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And the first part of the covenant, being led by the Spirit, having received Jesus Christ as our Savior, the only way that you're going to be saved is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, then the next point here is having professed faith in him. Matthew chapter 10, verses number 32, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." When we profess the Lord Jesus Christ, when we accept him as our personal Savior, he goes to the Father on our behalf. You know, I thank the Lord that God does not see my sin. Amen. My past, present, and future sin has been washed and covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not getting to heaven on my own merits. I'm not getting into heaven because I'm a good person. I'm not getting into heaven because of the church that I'm a member of or the church that I'm pastoring of. I'm getting to heaven because my sins are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in order to get a hold of this church covenant, and in order to be a part of it, well, first of all, you've got to be blood bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of unity. That's the glue that sticks it all together. Without that, it's impossible to do. First of all, you can't truly be a member of the church. You say, well, got news for you, preacher. I've been a member of this church for X years, and I'm sitting here as lost as can be. Well, not a member. Well, they voted me in. Well, we voted you in by your testimony and what you said. But the truth be known, you're not a member. You say, why? You know, oh, that makes sense. No wonder I don't fit in. No. Oil and water don't mix. Lost and saved don't do well together. And they can't be in one mind and in one thought and one direction.
Amen.
So the thing that is very and important in a church covenant and an agreement is for each and every one that enter into that agreement be saved, born again, and bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And here at Faith Independent Baptist Church, we don't take members that are not saved. We don't take members that do not have a testimony of putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and being washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just don't do it. Now, does that mean you can't come? Does that mean you can't sit there and you can't participate with us in some of our functions and activities? No, that's not what that means. But to get in on the inside, to get in where the covenant is, to get in to the true blessings of God, there's a requirement. You must be born again. You know, we have some folks that are professors, but they're not possessors.
Amen.
You know, we've got a whole world, you know, and using that as an example, you've got a bunch of people that are standing up today and they'll say, God bless America, and they'll say, well, I'm a Christian, or they'll make a testimony by mouth, but by heart, they're dead as a doornail and they're on their way to hell. You see, you can profess and not possess. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, if you don't know, will you come see me after church? If you don't know what the difference between professing and possessing is, come see me after church. I'll show you. Then the next part. Church members are to be scripturally baptized people. You know, this is important. Why is scriptural baptism important? Is it our salvation? Is it part of our salvation? No, it is not. It's a good thing. It's the right thing. It's the first. It is the first commandment in a believer's life. And should they? Yes, they should. But it is not salvation. I want to help you understand that. If you're depending on you being baptized as your ticket to heaven, can I tell you? The Word of God says, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Baptism is not a part of your salvation. Baptism will not earn you a way into heaven. It doesn't matter if you've been dipped, sprinkled, or however it came to you. If it was before you got saved, and if you're counting on it for your salvation, you're in trouble. But as far as becoming a member of Faith Independent Baptist Church, first thing we're looking for, in order to be able to join together with us and make a covenant, first thing we're looking for is for you to be saved. Then the next thing that we're looking for is for you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Having been baptized, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now buried with him in baptism. You say, well, preacher, you just said that baptism isn't a part of salvation. No, that verse is not talking about physical, or I'm sorry, and the reason, buried with him in baptism. You see, what baptism is, it's the first step of obedience in a Christian's life. You know, if you don't obey in the small parts, in the little things, you're not going to obey in the big things. Because it starts at baptism. And it grows. Now again, we're not talking about your salvation, we're talking about your obedience. And if you'll rebel, and if you're not willing to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you'll never go any further. Well, why is baptism important? Baptism is important is because when you get baptized, what you're saying is, I am identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I'm letting all of you know that are watching is I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. It's that first step of obedience. It's that first testimony. And many times when people will not follow that first testimony, you know what it does? It hinders things. It stunts their growth. You know, it's like when I was growing up, my dad always told me, no, you can't drink coffee, it'll stunt your growth. Now, it really has not done anything for the growth. I've drank 4 cups this morning, and I'm still growing. And I just wished it would go up and not out. But I can guarantee you, folks, not being baptized will stunt your spiritual growth. It will also, as far as the church covenant is concerned, keep you on the outside. Oh, you'll be close. You'll be almost there, but not quite there. Can I tell you? Come on in. The weather's warm. The water's warm. Being in the house, being in the family of God is a wonderful thing. You can get a whole lot more accomplished, feel a whole lot more comfortable when you're in instead of being without. You all have watched the TV programs when, you know, the child or whatever is on the outs and he's standing on the street and looking in and watching his family laugh and have a good time, and he's standing out on the street and they're inside having a good time. You know, it's kind of like what it is when a person's not baptized. Come on in, the water's warm. The Bible tells us we confess him as Savior. We profess, we confess him as Savior. We profess him in baptism. You understand what the difference there is? When I got saved, I confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believed in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, and the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. But when I followed the Lord in believer's baptism, I was professing him. I was saying, hey, folks, look, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I'm going to follow him. I don't know where I'm going just yet. I don't know how it's going to work out. But I'm going to follow. You miss that step. I want to encourage you to do it. The word baptism means to dip, plunge, or immerse. Here at Faith Independent Baptist Church, we don't believe in sprinkling. We believe, as the Bible says, and any example in the Bible that where baptism is done, There was no sprinkling going on.
Right.
Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, they got out of the chariot and they both went down into the water. And Philip dunked him under. When Jesus Christ was baptized, and when John baptized in the Jordan River, he wasn't reaching down and grabbing handfuls of water and dumping on people. He was putting them in. Because, see, it's really important. You say, well, why is immersion important? Why does it have to be that way? Why can't it be something else? Because you're either in or you're out. Jesus doesn't sprinkle you with his blood. He covers you with his blood. You see, you don't want a sprinkling. Because if you just get a sprinkling of Jesus' blood, your sin still shows. Your sin is revealed in the eyes of God, and that's not a good thing to be. Because in the Bible says in the last day, he'll say, "Depart from me, you wicked, I never knew you." But you see, when you're covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a child of God. The Bible says you're joint heir. What does that have to do with baptism, preacher? Are you talking about baptism of salvation? No. Why do we do immersion? Because, again, we're going by the testimony. We're going by what we're professing. And we're saying, my sin is buried in Jesus. My life now is resurrected from the dead with Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to go where he leads me to go. So baptism, although it is not part of your salvation, it's a very intricate, important part of your relationship with God. Church members' vow has been witness. When you get baptized, a church member's vow has been witnessed, first of all, by God. Psalms 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and the ears are open unto their cry." Then the vow is being witnessed by the angelic host in heaven. Psalms 34 and verse number 7 says, "And the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivered them." And then by the assembly. And we read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 12. Where the church gave witness of what was done in those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. The third point that we'll look at here this morning is the conditions of the vow. Salvation should be in church membership should be entered into solemnly. Making a covenant with Faith Independent Baptist Church should be met with and should be done solemnly. First Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 20 and 21, it says, "But now are there many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the head, or to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the feet, the head to the feet, I have no need of thee." When we enter into a church as a member, we're to enter into that solemnly. We're to enter in and do or fail, we have an effect on the whole body. Church membership is an important thing. Baptism is salvation, then baptism, and church membership is an important thing. It should be thought over. It should be prayed about because, as we were talking about, do or fail, it affects the whole body. You say, "Well, what do you mean there, preacher?" will come up here. I've got a hammer, and I'll whomp you a good one on the toe. Your toe isn't going to scream, ouch! Your mouth is. We need to make sure as we enter in that we do or fail will affect the whole body. We are to respond and keep the body pure. You see, when you join a church, there's a responsibility. And the responsibility is to keep the body pure. Now, I'm not talking about the body of Christ physically. I'm talking about the church body. One of the biggest things that I find when I go out door knocking that hinders the church is you'll knock on a church door and folks will say, I'm not going to go to that church because they're a bunch of hypocrites. Well, I'm not going to go to that church because you know what so-and-so does in that church? Yeah, he goes in there and he dresses up and he's pretty and, you know, looks good on Sunday, but you ought to see what he does Monday through Friday. You see, joining and partnering up with the church is a responsibility to make sure that the body remains pure. And when you go out and you smoke, cuss, drink, and chew and run with those that do and act like a heathen, what you do is you bring reproach, first of all, upon the name of God.
Amen.
You bring reproach upon the salvation that you have. But you also bring reproach on the church that you're a member of. I want to encourage you. Church, let's keep the body pure. Let's make sure that we keep things in check. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 26 through 27 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ, desire is that the church be presented to God holy. The church glorious and holy, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. So we need to be careful. Church member, you need to be careful. What you say and what you do causes people to think what they think about our church. And then we ought to enter into the covenant with the church joyfully. It is a joy to be a part of the Lord's assembly.
Amen.
It is a joy. You know, I don't walk around shamedly saying, I'm a member of Faith Independent Baptist Church. I came and joined up with you all joyfully. I'm glad to be here. I can honestly tell you, now maybe not every Sunday, but I can honestly tell you, and that's just my confession ahead of time, I can honestly tell you I can't think of any other place I'd rather be this morning. I got up looking forward to being here. I got up looking forward to seeing you all and to shake hands and to love on you and to do my best to minister and be a part of your life. And when you ache, I ache. When you have a burden, I have a burden. When you have a need, I have a need. You know what that's called? That's called a family. That's called bearing one another's burdens. And that's what we all need to be doing. Because you see, there's some weeks I can't meet all the needs. You know, I know I'm big enough to divide up and go into all the world, but it just doesn't work that way. I can only be in one place at one time. You see, that's the way God designed it. We're all a body. God didn't expect me to do it all. God didn't expect you to do it all. God expects His people to do it all. And see, the church covenant is making an agreement. Hey, I'm going to be there and I'm going to do my part, whether it's a toe, a hand, an arm, no matter what it is. It's my part and I'm going to joyfully do it. A person that needs to enter into the covenant with God and a covenant with the church joyfully. It is a joy to be a part of His assembly. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 21, it says, "Unto Him be glory in the church of Christ, in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all the ages until the end of the world. Amen." One day we will share, we shall share the honors. Revelation chapter 19 and verses 7 and 8 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready, and to him was granted, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." You know, one day, and coming soon, we're going to hear the trumpet. And we're going to meet Jesus in the cloud. Amen. And folks, I'll tell you what, that's coming real soon. Amen. It's coming real soon. Beware. It could be any time. And we'll be arrayed in fine, clean linen. But you know, we need to be practicing that here on earth. We need to be making sure that we keep ourselves clean from the things of the world. We need to make sure that we be careful what we permit our eyes to watch. There are some things on television, folks, we ought to be avoiding. You say, "Oh, well, I can handle it. I can handle it." No, you can't. Nor can you unsee it. And most of all, those little kids that are watching, you don't think that they're catching a thing? They're catching everything. Believe you me, just get with me. And I'll tell you what your kids have to say. I want to encourage you, folks. Keep the body clean. Then, with one another, an agreement of fellowship and faith. You know what we need to be doing? We need to be agreeing in fellowship and faith. Why do we keep having fellowships? Because I want to annoy you? No. Because if we don't fellowship together, if we don't pray together, if we don't eat together, if we don't spend time together, we will grow apart. You know what working together on the church does? It brings us together. You know what having fellowships do? It brings us together. You know why the family, why the home is falling apart? Because nobody sits at the dinner table and eats anymore. There's some things we need to get back to, folks. And that's what we're doing here at Faith Independent Baptist Church. We're rolling back some time. And we're having fellowships. We're working together. We're doing things together. We're going to go out and we're going to have a backyard Bible club together. We're going to go out and we're going to teach, and we're going to have a bus route together. And we're going to have Sunday school classes together. And we're going to start working together. Or we've already started working together. And we're going to keep that up. You know why? Because it's detrimental to the survival of the church. I don't want to grow apart. I don't want to be out there doing my own thing. First of all, I'll mess it up. I need people to watch over and take care of me and help me stay in line. And you need the same thing. An agreement of fellowship and faith. Our interest in the Lord's work has become mutual, and we promise to keep the way. You know what a church covenant is? That things that we're interested in are the Lord's work. You know why churches are falling apart today? They're not interested in the Lord's work. They're interested in what they're doing and what's going on in their life. A lot of what we're experiencing today is stemming from children that have been raised in daycares and taught in our schools that they're special and that the only thing that counts is what they want. They're being lied to. They're being deceived. And oftentimes we're so busy, we don't even see it. You know what what's going to keep us together? What's going to keep us going in the same direction is all of us having interest in the work of God. You know what happens? You get two or three people that are doing all the work, you get tired. You know one of the biggest complaints I hear as a pastor? Pastor, it's the same five people that are doing it all. It's the same five people. We're doing it all the time. It's being totally left upon us. You know what? What's really sad is that's true amongst churches all across the United States. Now, praise the Lord, I think we've got a few more than five. But you know what we need? We need church members that are not freeloaders, church members that will pitch in and do their part. You say, well, you know, some of those things, they're not for me. Some of those things I can't physically do. Well, there are things you can do. And if you're doing your part, other people can do their part. And what we're all doing is we're all together in the interest of the Lord's work. Not one person or not a few people are sharing the whole burden. And folks, that goes from the nursery to the adult class. That goes from tithing, faith promise, giving a missions offering, and special offerings above that. We all need to do our part. Now, some people's parts may be larger than others. Other people's parts are going to be more sacrificial. What did Jesus say about the widow who put in her two mites? It was more than all of those that came and put in of their abundance. So you say, well, I'm poor, I can't afford to give. I'm poor, I can't afford to participate in that. Give what you can, even if it's two mites. In the interest of God's work. And we promise to keep the way. There's only one way, folks. God has made His command clear in the Word of God, what the body of Christ is to do, referring to the church, and we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And if we're not doing that, if you're not doing that on a daily basis, there's something wrong. You say, well, now, wait a minute, I feel a little uncomfortable. You know, the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. Pass out gospel tracts. Do something. Just if you don't have a gospel tract and you're standing there, for goodness sake, invite them to church. Do something. Nothing should never be an option. As one body in Christ, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 21 and 22, it says, In whom all he building fitly framed together groweth and unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are building, are builded together, foe and inhabitant of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 4 in verse number 4 says, there is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Church, number one thing that is required to join Faith Independent Baptist Church and to go into covenant with Faith Independent Baptist Church. You say, well, I'm a member, but I don't know about that covenant thing. You know what sometimes we need to do? We need to renew. We need to renew our commitment, church, church members. We need to renew that commitment to the Lord. And when you're renewing that commitment, first of all, you're saying, I am saved. I've been baptized scripturally. And I want to be a part. You say, well, you've already done that. Well, I'm talking about renewing. There'll be some of you, maybe you need to do that. But you see, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you know what you're getting into when you come. Commitment. And we're going to go further on this next week, but we'll stop here at this for now. Y'all go ahead and stand to your feet. And if God spoke to your heart, Brother Chuck, if you'll come, and Sister Helen, and we'll have our invitation. If you're here today and you're not saved, don't worry about church membership right now. Just get in. Just get into the family of God. Just get saved. Accept Him as Savior. Miss hell. Go to sleep tonight knowing that you'll have eternity in heaven. That's your choice. God isn't going to make you get saved. But I sure know He went to a whole lot of trouble to see to it that you could be. Amen. And maybe today you need to join up with us. Be a part of our church. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism in order to be able to do that. I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to take that step of obedience in your life and be baptized and join our church. Those of you who need to join our church, you've been saved, you've been baptized, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? We're looking for folks that'll come, serve, and work. Come joyfully, give cheerfully, and serve willingly. That's a pretty good motto, isn't it? Come joyfully, give willingly, and serve joyfully. Come. Let's pray. Father, I pray that Your will would be done in the service today. Lord, I know that there's some that have tuned in on Facebook and they're not saved. Lord, I pray that today would be the day they would get saved. Lord, if they've got any questions or anything about it, Lord, I pray that they'd give me a call. And I'd go and explain it to them and show them from God's Word how they can be saved. And Father, I pray for those that are here among us today, Lord, that are not saved. They've been holding out. Lord, maybe they're ashamed too because they're a member of the church and they've not yet trusted You as a personal Savior. Lord, I pray today would be the day they would do that. Lord, I pray for those who need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, Lord, that they would put aside all the fears and all the wonders about it, Lord, and they would just come and follow You in baptism. And Lord, I pray for those that You've been speaking to, Lord, that need to join our church. Lord, I pray that they'd be willing to do that. Lord, only they know what God's will is for their lives. And Lord, we pray that they would follow that. Now, Lord, we love and we thank You for all that You're going to do. In Your name we pray.